Okay, today's daf is Megillah Daf Yud Beis. Today we're going to continue to darshan the Agadato, all of the discussions of the story of the Megillah. Amar Aleph is going to go through a lot of the details of the party and how Achashverosh celebrated using Big Day Kuhuna, using Klei Amigdash, things of that nature, what types of wine were available, how he sat everybody in the party. Amud Beis is mostly going to deal with Achashverosh's Vashti problem and what the whole debate between him and Vashti was really all about, the pretzels of Vashti, how Achashverosh shut her off, and how she insulted him, and then how delicately people had to advise him in terms of realizing what he was going to, how angry he was at the moment, but also how he was going to react to it the next day. And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to start to discuss the yichus of Mordechai, which we probably won't get to today. So we left off yesterday going through the mistakes in terms of cheshbening the 70 years of galus that Achashverosh says that I know that Baal Shei Tzar made a mistake when he figured out this when the 70 years are over, and that's why he assumed that he could take out the Klei HaMikdash and that there's not going to be a Geula, there's not going to be a Bayis Sheni. But I cheshbened it right, Achashverosh says, and I know that the 70 years are up, and therefore he thought he was very confident in taking out the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. Just the very fact that they wouldn't take out the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash until they were sure that the 70 years were up and there wasn't going to be a Golus is also very interesting. If they had access to it, why not? What were they worried about? Rav Moshe in a tshuva in Yardei Chelek Dalet Siman Samach Gimel discusses this, and he assumes that they wouldn't have done it unless they were permitted, unless they held that it was Yotzei L'chulin, that these Kelim were no longer going to be used. The context of the tshuva is that there was a minhag, I don't know how you call it a minhag, there was a practice that certain people had years ago when they would go, when they would have access to the Kosel HaMa'aravi, they would bring a little chisel and they would chisel off a little piece as a keepsake. They would take home a piece of the Kosel HaMa'aravi, they would put it under their pillows as a skula for something, I don't know, but they would take off pieces of the Kotel. So all the Gedolim thought that this was a terrible minhag. It's an Isser Mi'ila Behagdish, it's Gezel HaRabim, it's Sasim Kim Lashem Elokechem. I mean, you name it, this is, it violates several Isurim. Kav Chaim says, Chalil Vachas, Kav Chaim writes in Siman Kufnun Aleph, Chalil Vachas, Listar, Mea Kosel Amravi, Shum Davar, that God forbid we should ever do such a thing like that, even by a Beis HaKnesses, you're not allowed to take down the stones, let alone the Kosel Amravi, which is the remnant of, and Lozaza Shechina, Mikosel Amravi, the Shechina is still assumed to be at the Kosel Amravi. So it's a certain and it's a bizayon to the Kosel, etc. So Moshe, in the context of discussing this, says that that there are those that wanted to say that there's no Isser Mi'ila by taking over the stones of the Kosel based on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, when it talks about the Avnei Mizbeach Sheshaktsu Anshei Yavan that the Greeks had destroyed. So the Gemara learns from a pasuk in Yecheskel, Ubo Uba Pritzim V'Chilulua, that once the Nachrim came into the Eichel, all the Kelim became Chulin. So some wanted to say, so once they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and when they came into the Beis HaMikdash and they destroyed the Heichel, the Kelim became Chulin. So when they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, maybe the Avnei HaKosel become Chulin, and therefore it's not a violation of Mi'ila Behagdish. So Moshe says, no, the din of Bo Pritzim V'Chiluha is not Shaykh to the Avnei HaKosel. That's only by the Klei HaMikdash that they wanted to take for themselves to use for their own purposes. But anything that they didn't have the das to be mechalal, and ultimately was always omeid to return to the Beis HaMikdash, is not nischal mikdushaso, still retains its kedusha. Anything that ultimately might go back to being used in the Beis HaMikdash is not mischal mikdushaso. And Rav Moshe's raya is from our sugya that Baal Shei Tzar didn't want to use the Klei HaMikdash until lefi cheshbono Klal Yisrael is never going to use it again. That the Geula is never going to happen. It's only once they were confident, that once Baal Shei Tzar was confident that the Geula is never going to happen, then he uses Klei HaMikdash, because then they're Yotzei L'chulin. But prior to that, they're not Yotzei L'chulin. That's how Moshe understands what's going on in this Gemara. But anyway, so Achashverosh says, but I'm going to make the proper cheshbon. I'm not going to make this mistake. So we're up to three lines from the bottom of the page. Ask the Gemara, Vashaper Chashiv. Sounds like Achashverosh got it right. What was so wrong about his cheshbon? Chorban. So you Nami Mitatayna, he also is mistaken. The Baila Mimni Mechavras Yerushalayim, he should have counted from the destruction of Yerushalayim, not just from the Gullus itself, from the Gullus Bavel, like he did count from, he should have counted from Chavras Yerushalayim. So meaning the Baal Sheitzer counted from the Malchus Bavel. Achashverosh says his mistake was counting Malchus Bavel, he should have counted from Gullus Bavel. But even Gullus Bavel wasn't enough. Where he really should have counted the 70 years is from the final destruction of Yerushalayim. Sof Sof Kama B'tzirin, so still, how much of a difference is it from the Gullus Bavel to the Chorban of Yerushalayim? Chadesar, it's 11 years. So Iu Kama Malach, how long was Achashverosh actually the king? Arbesar, he was king for 14 years. So Barbesa Didei, Barilil Mibni Beis HaMikdash. So sometime during his 14-year reign, the Beis HaMikdash should have been rebuilt then. Allah Maksiv, why then does it say Beidayim Betelus Avedis Beis HaLakad Debi Yerushalayim? And the end of the Pasuk goes on to say, Ulashana Didiyar Mecholar Shlom Chanias, Yerushalayim Ad Shnas Tartin L'Malchus or Yavish Melech Paras. The pasuk goes on to say that it remained batal until the second year of Melech Dar Yavish. That apparently Yerushalayim was not rebuilt. The Beis Hamikdash was not rebuilt until the next Dar Yavish, the one who was the Melech after Achashverosh, the second year of his reign. According to this Chashmon, Achashverosh was only off by 11 years. It should have been rebuilt while Achashverosh was still the Melech. So Amarava Shana Mekutaos Havu. Another problem we made in the Cheshbon is when we were counting the 45 years of Nebuchadnezzar and the 23 years of Evel Merudach and the 2 years that Achashverosh so far was the Melech, still there was overlap, meaning when we say 45 years of Nebuchadnezzar plus 23 years of Evel Merudach, those weren't the year 45 of Nebuchadnezzar was also year 1 of Evel Merudach. Year 1 of Evel Merudach was also year 23 of Evel Merudach was also year 1 of Achashverosh. So there was overlapping years, and those overlapping years account for the difference. So that's why it was in the second year of Daryavish, and it wasn't during the Malchus of Achashverosh. Tanya Nami Hachi, we have a brisa just like this. Vochan Acharis Lubavel Vama Daryavish Vishlima. That Daryavish only when it was, you see in the years of Nebuchadnezzar and Evel Merudach, was a year was swallowed up in there, because you see that it was only Mashlim, it was only became complete in the years of Daryavish. Amar Rava, Af Daniel Ta Bahe Chushbana. Daniel also made a mistake in the Cheshbon of the years. Tichsiv Bishnas Achas Molcha Ani Daniel Binosi Besvarin. Midkamer Binosi Mechal Dato. When he says Binosi, makes it sound like initially he made a mistake. Binosi is the lashon of counting, Rashi says. So it sounds like he made a mistake in his initial counting, and then he finally got it right. But bottom line is, there's a steer in the Pesukim. I mean, the Pesukim describe differently when the Gullus starts. Ksiv Melos LeBavel, Ksiv LeChavos Yerushalayim. On the one hand, it says that the Gullus is going to end 70 years after Gullus Bavel, after Melos LeBavel. On the other hand, it says the Chavos Yerushalayim. So that itself is a discrepancy. So Amarav LePkidu BiAlma. Now that there's a difference when Hashem remembers Klal Yisrael and allows us to begin to go back up to Eretz Yisrael and to start the building process, so that's 11 years earlier. That when Hashem remembers and Hashem allows us to go back to Eretz Yisrael, that was 70 years from the Gullus Bavel. When we actually have a Beis HaMikdash, that's 70 years from the Chorban Yerushalayim. So both Pesukim are in fact correct. And again, what you see from here is that Geula is not a moment. Geula is a process, that it wasn't something that happened in a single moment, that the Gullus Bavel sort of ended a little bit earlier, and then again a little bit later, because it's not that it ended twice, it's that it was a process that began earlier and took some time, and that process continued. We just discussed last night in the Tuesday Night Shir about about bringing karbanos, and how those who are against the idea of bringing karbanos, bizman shein bizman mikdash kayim, what do they do with the fact that they brought karbanos when they came back from Gullus Bavel before they had a Beis HaMikdash? We just learned on Daf Yud how they set up the curtains around the Heichal and the Azara and Mavim karbanos afapi she'en bayis. So they were bringing karbanos before the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt. So they suggest, the Binyan Sion says, yeah, they brought karbanos before the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt, because it was Aschalta de Gula, at least. They were beginning, doesn't use that terminology, but they were beginning the construction. So while they were in construction of a Beis HaMikdash, you can start doing things like bringing bringing karbanos. But before you're in construction of a Beis HaMikdash, before the process even begins, then you're not going to be able to bring karbanos. Darush Rav Nachman Rav Chista, Ma'idachsiv Ko'amar Hashem L'Mashicha L'Koresh Asher Hechzakti B'Yamino. What does the pasuk mean when it says Hashem says L'Mashicha to Koresh? V'chi Koresh Mashiach Haya? Was Koresh Mashiach? Ella Amalei Hakadosh Baruch Hu LeMashiach. No, rather, Hashem says to Mashiach, "Is Kovel Ani Lecha Al Koresh, that I have a complaint against Koresh." Ani Amarti Hu Yivne Beisi V'Kabitz Kol Yosai. I thought that that he would be able to build my Beis Hamikdash and gather in all the Galuyos. V'Hu Omer Mi Bachem Mikol Am Ovi Yaal. And Koresh instead offered the opportunity, the challenge to go to Eretz Yisrael, but he didn't do it. He didn't make it happen. He himself was supposed to be personally involved in gathering everyone together and build the Beis HaMikdash. So he was supposed to pave the way for Geula, and he didn't really pave the way. He just sort of didn't get in the way of Geula. So that was not enough. It wasn't considered enough what Koresh had done. Now we discuss the party. Chel paras umadai hapartamim. So says the Gemara, uksiv lemalchei paras umadai. On the one hand it says chel paras umadai, and then lemalchei madai uparas, it says rather. It goes from paras umadai to madai uparas. Am rava asnui asnui ba'adadi. Iminon malchi, iminai ufarchi. They made a deal with each other that if one of them is melech, the other one's going to be governors. Iminaychu malchi, minon ufarchi. That if one of them are going to, if the other one is the melech, then the other one is going to be the governor. So Madai Paras had this agreement amongst themselves. Barosos Osher Kvod Malchuso. So Achashverosh was showing off his wealth. Amr Biyosi Rabbi Chanina Malamid Shalavash Bigdei Kuhuna. We see from here that Achashverosh was wearing the Bigdei Kuhuna at his party, that he decided to wear the Bigdei Kuhuna. Because Ksiv Hacha Yekar Teferes Kedulaso Uksiv Hasam L'Chavarul Teferes. The only other place where we have Begadim described as a Chavar and Teferes is the Bigdei Kuhuna. So the authors of the Megillah were clearly trying to tell us what Achashverosh was doing, which clothing he was wearing, that it was Dafka the Bigdei Kuhuna. Now it's interesting that the Gemara doesn't say anywhere that he was punished for wearing the Bigdei Kuhuna. The Gemara is going to discuss how he used the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, and for that he was punished, but nothing about being punished for using the Bigdei Kuhuna. So why is it that he wasn't punished for killing the Bigdei Kuhuna? So there's machlokes rishonim meseches kiddushin where the Bigdei Kuhuna have a din of klisharis that have actual kedusha saguf, that have inherent kedusha, and therefore they cannot be yotzei l'chulin or not. The sheet of Tosfos in meseches kiddushin on Daf Nadalid is that they have a din of a klisharis, and therefore if someone is mekadesh in isha with the Bigdei Kuhuna, she's einu mekudeshes unless they were not yet nischanich la'avoda, because then the kedusha saguf has not yet taken hold on them. But after a Kohen has once warned them for Avoda, they're never Yotze L'chulin, and Meili cannot be Mekadesh and Isha with them because they have Kedush Saguf. They're not Mamun Baila, they're not our Mamun at all. They have Kedush Saguf, they cannot be used for Kedushin. Sheet of the Ramban and the Ritva, however, is that the Bigdei Kuhuna do not have Kedush Saguf of a Klisha race, and rather they're Machshirei Avoda, and they have Kedushas Damim, and therefore they can be Yotze L'chulin B'shogeg. So the Sefer HaMakna points out that according to the Ramban and the Ritva, the Bigdei Kuhuna do not have Kedush Saguf at all. You understand why Achashverosh wasn't punished for using the Bigdei Kuhuna, because once the Nebuchadnezzar's troops went into the Heichal, everything became Chulin. All the Kelim became Chulin if they were able to be Boba Pritzim Mechilua. By them going into the Heichal, they were in the Schal of the Kedusha of the Kelim. So Begadim and other things that don't have Kedush Saguf lost their Kedusha. It's only those items that had Kedush Saguf that didn't lose their Kedusha. So by the time Achashverosh was using them, they no longer had Kedusha. So Mela wasn't a problem that they were that he wasn't going to get punished for using the Bigdei Kuhuna. I want to just point out it's difficult because the Ramban and the Balamar of Machlokas in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, that according to the Balamar, Chilul of the Chavim doesn't work to be mbatal kedushas haguf, but according to the Ramban, chilul of avdei kochavim boloch prutz mechiluha works even to be mbatal kedushas haguf. So this teretz isn't going to work out. Ramban l'shitaso. According to the Ramban, according to the Ramban, it had the Bigdei Kuhuna had kedushas haguf, but I'm sorry, the Bigdei Kuhuna didn't have kedushas haguf, and therefore according to the Ramban, Big Tikkun didn't have Kedushas HaGuf at all, but anyway, according to the Ramban, Kedushas HaGuf can be Nischalel Al Yidei Pritzim that come in. So why would Kli Sharis be any different than Big Dekuna, according to the Ramban? But anyway, that's the suggestion that's made as to why Big Dekuna, that's what the Makna writes, why he wasn't punished for using the Big Dekuna. One says that he did wisely in the way he worked out the invitations, and the other one says he was being foolish. That he did a good thing; it was smart to first invite the people from far away. Meaning the people that live nearby, whenever he wants to appease them, whenever he wants to get them on his side, they're accessible to him, he'll be able to get them on the side. The greater challenge is to get support from the far reaches of the earth. So that's what he did first. He tried to invite people from very far away. And the one that says that he was a fool, no, he first should have brought in the people that were close by. Because if the people from far away rebel against him, at least he will have secured the base. He would have made sure that that those who were closest to him would back him up. So that's what you should always take care of first, and therefore it's foolish not to do that. Why is it that we deserve this threat of annihilation during the time of Achashverosh? What did Klal Yisrael do so terrible? So like a good Rabbi, he said to them, what do you think? Let's say what the Talmidim have to say. So they said it's because they got Hana'a from the Su'udah of Achashverosh. Amar lahem, so he said back to them, so then it only should have been a problem for the Jews of Shushan. They were the ones that were Nana from the Su'udah. Amar lo, emarata, so they said to him, okay, that's why we asked the Rabbi the question. Maybe you have a better answer than we have. So amar lahem, mipnei sheishtachvu l'tzelem, it's because they bowed down to the Tzelem. That's why they deserved to be wiped out. What, Hashem plays favorites over here? Why wouldn't he wipe them out then? They only did it in an external way, but they certainly didn't mean anything. They weren't in their hearts, they weren't worshipping the Avodah Zarah, they didn't mean it, they were just doing it externally. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had this external threat, the looks of a threat, even though ultimately they came out okay. So that the Sifsei Chacham suggest that's where the minhag to wear costumes on Purim comes from, that everything was only the fnim, the whole thing was only external, the whole thing, there was nothing internal, the avera that they did, and the way the threat against them, it was all surface, it wasn't anything on the inside. That you see, that was the whole nature of the miracle of Purim. So hishtachvel etzelam, the Rav Shimon Reichai's answer of what they did so terrible was that they were mishtachvel etzelam. So Rashi says, what tzelam? What they were mishtachvel to? So Rashi says it was what Nebuchadnezzar set up in Bikas Dura, and he told all the nations of the world that they have to be mishtachvel. That's what it sounds from the pasuk in Daniel, that only Hanani, Mishael, Azari were Moser Nefesh and were not mishtachvel to tzelam. Everyone else was. And now we were finally paying the price for the fact that everybody else was mishtachvel. So the Marsha says, well, wasn't there another mishtachvel? Why not say the more pashup shot? In the Megillah story itself, everyone had to bow to Haman, and Mordechai was the only one that refused to bow to Haman. So if Mordechai refused to bow to Haman, and that was a big deal, the implication is that everyone else did bow to Haman. So why aren't we punished for that? Why is it going back to Nebuchadnezzar? Why wouldn't you say that it's simply about the failure to bow to Haman? So the Marsha explains that we have to understand is that Achashverosh didn't make Haman into a god. He said that everyone should bow to Haman as a sign of kavod for his position. So it wasn't considered a real avera to bow to Haman. So Marsha says that doesn't work according to Rabbeinu Tam in Tosos Maseches Ksubas Daf Lamed Gimel, who says that Nebuchadnezzar's tzelem also was not an avodah zarah. It was only made the kavod melech. So then it would be no different than Haman. And the Tosos writes, Rabbeinu Tam writes that Afal Pikein, even though Nebuchadnezzar's tzelem also was not an avodah zarah, Hanani Mishael Azariah or Moser Nafsho Lemisa for Kiddush Hashem. So in the same way that the rest of Klal Yisrael didn't do Avodah Zarah for Kiddush Hashem. So they should have or the same way that they should have done like Hanani Mishael Vazayu for the sake of Kiddush Hashem, they should have done the same with Haman for the sake of Kiddush Hashem. So why does Rashi have to dafka the kashas vayter on Rashi? Why does Rashi have to dafka point to what they bowed to the Talmud of Vuchanetz and not say it was the same exact avera with Haman? Not only that, Rashi himself says in his commentary on the Megillah that Haman asa atzma aloha, that he made himself into a god, that he made an avod zara out of himself, and that's why Mordechai wouldn't bow to him. So why couldn't he say the same thing over here? Meaning to the turrets that we want to suggest for Rashi that it was only the mishum kavod. It's not what Rashi himself says on the Megillah. So the Marsha suggests that Rashi didn't want to say that it had to do with bowing to Haman, because then the same kasha that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai asked on his talmidim, he could ask on himself. Because it was only the Jews of Shushan that were mishtachve to Haman. So the same kasha he asked in the Talmidim, that they said that it was because Nanu Misudas Shlos Rasha. So he said that only the Jews of Shushan should have been punished. Well, he could have asked that kasha on himself. If it was bowing to Haman, only the Jews of Shushan should have been punished. No one else was bowing to Haman. But Nebuchadnezzar, that was everybody was doing. So since that was for everybody, that's why it was considered to be a better explanation. That's why Rashi went with it. B'chatzar Gina based on Hamelach. So it was in the courtyard and the garden and the house of the Melech that this party existed. So Rav Shmuel, Ravu Shmuel, Rav and Shmuel had a machlokas. Chad amar haroi l'chatzah l'chatzah haroi l'gina l'gina haroi l'beisan l'beisan. Depending on who you are, if you were someone that deserved to be sitting in the chatzah, you sat in the chatzah, in the gina, you sat in the gina, in the beisan, you sat in the beisan. V'chad amar hoshivan b'chatzah v'loch sikasan. The other one says, no, he really wanted the party to be in the chatzah, but then they ran out of room in the chatzah. The gina, so the overflow crowd ran into the gina. Vechsikasan, it didn't hold them either. Atchech nisan the basin vechsikasan, until he brought them into the basin, and then finally he was able to hold all the crowds. Masnisatana, then the third explanation is Hoshivan b'chatzer upasachlem shnei pesachim echad the gina vechad the basin, that he sat them all in the chatzer, but there were two doorways to the chatzer where they could see inside to the gina and the basin, so they had access to at least visual access to the other two areas as well, but they actually only sat in the chatzer. Chur karpas sutcheles. So the types of garments that were there, and curtains and drapery was chur karpas sutcheles. My chur, what is chur? Rav amar chari chari. It's something that has many holes in it. Ushmuel amar milas levana itzia lehem, that it was a white kind of wool that he spread out for them. Karpas, Amar Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina, Karim Shal Pasim. These were cushions of fine wool. Al Glulei Kesef Vemudei Sheish Mito Zav Kesef. By the way, Pasim is the translation of Karpas. That's what some suggest, that the Karpas at the Seder, the dipping of the Karpas that we do at the Seder, maybe is a Zecher to the dipping of the Ksonis Pasim, that before we begin the Seder, we discuss how it all began, how the Galus Mitzrayim all began. It all began with Yosef's brothers dipping the Ksonis Pasim in the blood. So we dip a Karpas. Karpas doesn't mean carrots, radishes, or whatever. You know, it means... what it literally means in the Gemara is it means pasim, it means a fine wool, it means a ksonis pasim. So maybe that's what we were doing at the beginning of the Seder. So anyway, al glulei kesef amudei sheish mito zav v'kesef, tani Rabbi Yehuda omer haroi l'kesef l'kesef. Those who deserve kesef got kesef, haroi l'zav l'zav, and those who deserve gold got gold. Amlo Rabbi Nechamius, Rabbi Nechamius says, imkei natalmatul kina b'suuda. Why would he do that? Then he's just going to make the different people sitting at the suuda jealous of each other. Ella heim shel kesef raglein. Now, clearly, the benches themselves were made out of silver, but the legs were made out of gold. Frek Tosos, wait a second, you're so worried about being Matal Kina. We just said before, Haroi Legina Legina, Haroi Lechatzer Lechatzer. People sat in different areas based on what they were Ra'ui for. So how can you say they sat in different areas based on what they were Ra'ui for? Isn't that also going to be Matal Kina Basuda? So Tosos says, Yeshlom Disfili Dikim Shloy Rowan says, Leka Kina. That wasn't going to cause Kina because they don't see each other. So as long as I don't see someone getting better than what I have, then I'm okay with it. But when you have to see it, when you see that you're sitting on a silver bench and someone else sitting on a gold bench, so then you're going to get jealous. But everyone in the chatzar, as far as they knew, they were perfectly happy. Even if they knew that there were other people in the gina, it would be okay. They didn't have to see it, then it wasn't going to be matil kina. In the Sefer Kikayon de Yona, he says that no, that the idea of having them sit in different areas has nothing to do with the level of where they were in society. No, the idea that some sat in the chatzar, some sat in the gina. Some people like to be indoors. Some people like to be outdoors. It's like you go to a restaurant. Some people dafka, they have outdoor seating, indoor seating. Some people like the outdoor seating. Some people like the indoor seating. Everyone has a different preference. So that's what it was, that Achashverosh was fitting their personalities with and providing them with whatever it was that they wanted. So that wasn't going to be the source of any sort of kinah. Not like Tosa says. That's what the Kikayin Diana says. And the Masifti quotes from a Sefer Rov Dagan, who says that no, that the dividing up the chassid, the gina, and the beisan was based on where they were in society. That the poor people sat in a certain place, the rich people sat in another place, the aristocratic people, etc. But that was also to their benefit. The poor people don't want to sit with the rich people; they want to sit with their friends. They don't want to sit with the. But to see that they're not being provided the same services, that they're not getting the same that's going to cause jealousy. But in terms of who they sit with, they're very happy not to sit with people who are in a different social level than they are. So Bav Vashesh, Amrabasi, Avanim Shemischotitos al Balayan. These are stones that are sought after by their owners. V'chenu Omer, Avnei Nezer, Misnoso Salad Maso, that these crown jewels that were obtainable after a lot of effort. V'dor v'socharas, so Rav Amar, Dari Dari. Rav says, it's rows and rows. Shmuel Amar, Evan Tova Yesh B'karcha Yam V'dor Shema. There's a certain precious gem called Dar. Hoshiva Be'emtsa Su'udah, and they put it in the middle of the Su'udah, Mi'iru Lehem Kitzarayim. And it was such a bright gem that it provided light like broad daylight. That Achashverosh is part of the party relieved people of a tax that he normally had. That's what Rashi explains. Also, Nachas Ruach leBnei Malchuso laHavir men meches shel Sochrin. He lifted a tax during the time of the Suda. Veshkosav klizav vekelim mekelim shonim meshunim ibayilei. Should have said kelim meshunim, different kelim. What's kelim mekelim shonim? Amr of Yatzah Baskel the Amr Lahem Rishonim Kalim Ibnei Kalim Vatem Shonim Vishosim Bem, that Baal Sheitzar was wiped out because of the Kalim of the Beis Mikdash that he used. Now you're going to go and Vishonim, you're going to repeat the same Avera, you're going to drink from the Kalim of the Beis Mikdash again. Vyein Malchus Rav, Samrav Mlamich Kalechad Vechadishko Yayin Shigadal Imena Bashanim. Each person was provided with wine that was older than the person himself. The wine was aged beyond the age of the person. Vashtia kedas, my kedas, Amar Chan Mishum Rameir kedas shel Torah, that the drinking was in line with the Torah's ideals of how to drink. Ma das shel Torah achilim ruba mishtia, just like das shel Torah, the law of the Torah is that there's more eating than drinking. Avsu das shel Sarasha achilim ruba mishtia. So too at the Suda of Achashverosh, the achila was greater than the shtia. What does it mean that in the Torah the eating is more than the drinking? Sarashi says by karbanos, by the mizbeach, the achilas hamizbeach. There are nesachim that we pour on the mizbeach. We pour wine on the mizbeach, but there are animals that are burnt on the mizbeach are much more than the nesachim that we pour on the mizbeach. Tosos Maseches Nida Daf Chav Dalet says, yeah, that's true, and from there we're supposed to learn Derech Eretz, that's the way a person is supposed to eat as well, that there should be more achila than there is shtia, that achila should be primary and shtia should be secondary. But Tosos in Nida over there just raises the question that the Gemara in Nida says differently. The Gemara says Kol Shachilasum Rub Mishtias Atzmos of Schulian, that is bad for a person to have more eating than drinking. So it sounds like the opposite of what we're saying over here. So Tosafot says that over there the Gemara is talking about where a person eats a lot more than he drinks, and that's not healthy. But to eat a little more than he drinks, that's considered the proper way to go, and that's considered to be healthy. Svasema says, no, it depends what you're drinking. If you're drinking wine, so then our Gemara is the operative Gemara. You shouldn't drink more wine than you eat, and that we take the cue from the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach had wine and meat, and more meat than it had wine. But if you're drinking water, in terms of just healthy eating habits, it's healthy to drink more water than it is to eat. So instead of filling his stomach on just food, if a person drinks enough, so he's not going to be as hungry, he's not going to overeat, and it will be healthier for the person. So that's the answer to the stira, says Fasem. It's not a stira at all. Ein ones, Amar Blazer Melamich Kalechad Ve'echad Hishkeu Miyein Medinaso, that everyone got the type of wine that they were used to from where they lived. La Soskir Tzon Ratzon Ish V'Ish, and he was doing the Ratzon of each and every person. Amar Rav Lasos Kirtzon Mordechai V'Haman. Who are the Ish and Ish? It's not each and every person. It refers to two specific people, Mordechai and Haman. Mordechai Dechsiv Ish Yehudi, Haman Ish Tsar V'Oyev. Both are described as an Ish in the Megillah itself. Rashi over here says, because Mordechai and Haman were the Sarei Mashkim at the Su'uda. So the Marsha raises the question that Kirtzon Ish V'Ish means the people who were sitting at the party, not the Sarei Mashkim. In the Pasuk, it doesn't sound like it's talking about the Sarei Mashkim at all. So why would the Gemara darshan that it's talking about Mordechai and Haman if they were the Sarei Mashkim? Not only that, the Targum on the Pasuk is Baram Mordechai at Tzadik V'Siate Lo Havutaman. The Targum says that Mordechai wasn't even there. He wasn't even at the party. According to Rashi, he was very much at the party. He was very involved in the party. The Medrash says Mordechai told Klal Yisrael, you better not go to that party. How could he tell people not to go to the party if he was sitting there as a Sar Mashkim? He was running the whole party. So the Marsha says, explains the Gemara differently, that Mordechai was not at the Mishnah at all, he says. When he says Kiritzon Mordechai, it means Mordechai is representative of a Jew. Haman is representative of a non-Jew. So when it says that Achashverosh did Kiritzon Ish V'Ish, Kiritzon Mordechai V'Haman, meaning everyone's Ratzon was done. The Jewish people's Ratzon was done. The non-Jewish people's Ratzon was done. And Mordechai and Haman are not referring to the individuals. It's referring to what they represent. In the Sefer Yafa Anaf, quoted over here in the Masifta, he quotes from the Gemara. He explains the Gemara based on the Medrash that Achashverosh wanted everyone's desires to be met, even if the desires contradicted each other. There was no greater example of two people who desired something that contradicted each other than Mordechai and Haman. Mordechai wanted the survival and thriving of the Jewish people, and Haman wanted the annihilation of the Jewish people. And still, Achashverosh wanted to satisfy both. That's something that was a complete stira. Still, if you wanted it, he wanted to provide it. So that's what it means, Kiritzon Mordechai v'Haman. Not that he did the Ratzon of Mordechai and Haman, but things that were like the Ratzon of Mordechai and Haman, things that were a stira, like the Ratzon of Mordechai and Haman are a stira, that's what Achashverosh was willing to do. Gam Vashti HaMalka also mishta nashim beis HaMalchus. Vashti HaMalka also made a party. So beis HaNashim mi bayalei. It should have said beis HaNashim. So why does it say beis HaMalchus? Amrav shnein l'dvar Avera niskavnu. Both Achashverosh and Vashti had intentions for Avera. Hainu damrin, they both wanted to do Arayos. Hainu damrin shi, that's what people say. Iu b'krei v'itzi b'butzine. That if he's having a large pumpkin, then she's having smaller pumpkins. Meaning if he's involved in Arayos, so is she. She's probably cheating on him also. So on the seventh day, when the king was finally good and drunk, so frak the Gemara, it takes 7 days to get drunk. It took until the seventh day, he didn't get drunk. You drink enough, you can get drunk in 7 minutes. What is it, 7 days? So Amar Rava Yom HaShvi Shabbos Haya. No, that Yom HaShvi that we're referring to is not the seventh day of the party. Rather, it was Shabbos. It was the Yom HaShvi. It was the seventh day of the week. It's referring to Shabbos. Sheyisrael Ochlim V'Shosin. And the contrast between the way that we party and the way that the Umos Olam party is never more evident than that Shabbos, because Klal Yisrael eats and drinks, and that eating and drinking allows our Chavas Hadas, where we share Divrei Torah and we say Divrei Tishbachos, we sing Zemiros. They start being involved in our Rayos and Tiflus. That's the Lashon Tiflus is used by the Mishnah and Sota, where the Mishnah discusses whether the various achuyos that will benefit a woman who is otherwise a sota. So the Mishnah discusses whether the zechus haTorah is beneficial for her. So and whether therefore, since zechus haTorah will be beneficial for her, it's worthwhile for one to teach his daughter's Torah. So one opinion in the Mishnah says that kol hamelamed is bita Torah kilu melamed the tiflus, and Rashi over there says tiflus is arayos. So where do we know tiflus is arayos? It's from here that it says over here that's what they were engaged in. They were engaged in tiflus, and now the Gemara is going to explain what exactly they were. That Achashverosh wanted her to come unclothed to the party, and she was So it was all about arayos. So that's what the word tiflus means. That's what was going on at the Suda. They were talking tiflus, they were talking arayos, they were talking about different types of women. Oh, the madayos are the most beautiful women, the parsayos are the most beautiful women. He says the kli that I use, my wife, the way he described it, is the kli that he uses is not a madai nor a parsi, a kasti. She's a kasti. Ritzon chum lerosa. Would you like to see her? That she's the most beautiful. And by the way, how did he correct it the second time around when he married Esther? She was no sischein beinei kol roeha. The Gemara said that one of the ways we know that Esther was baruch hakodesh was that everyone loved her. So the Gemara said it's not a good raya. No sischein beinei kol roeha, because everyone saw their own ethnicity in her. She was multicultural. She had a multicultural look to her. So that's he solved the problem with the next one. This one they were debating. Well, what's the prettiest one? The Madai, the Parsi, the Kasti. So you got one that looks like all of them. That looks like a Madai, Parsi, and a Kasti, and everybody else was able to see themselves in her. But anyway, so he wanted to show off Vashti. So Amrlo in. They said, yeah, we'd love to see her. Blavachite Aruma, as long as she comes out without any clothing. Because the reason that she was going to suffer that indignity was because she deserved to suffer such an indignity. She would make the Benos Yisrael stand there without any clothing and do malacha on Shabbos for her. So here on Shabbos, on the seventh day, she's going to have to suffer the indignity of being asked to appear in front of the Melech in that way. By the way, the Achronim just point out that Yom HaShvi'i, it's difficult to say that Yom HaShvi'i means Stam, that it was Shabbos, meaning the Pshuta Shel Mikra, certainly that it was the seventh day of the party, not just that it was Shabbos. So the Gra, in his commentary in the Megillah, the Gra is a fascinating Mahalich in the whole Megillah, where one of the Yisodos of the Gra's whole commentary is that whenever the word Melech appears, where it doesn't say Achashverosh, it just says HaMelech, it's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on some level. And you have to look at it carefully and see how it's actually talking about HaMelech. It's not talking about Achashverosh at all, because the name of Hashem doesn't appear in the Megillah, but the Gra says Hashem is all over the Megillah. So he says, based on and it's a medrash like that, but the Gra uses that medrash to explain the whole Megillah. So he says, that's what the Gemara was asking. Why is it on the Yom HaShvi was Nachas Ruach Ta'Kodesh Baruch Hu, that Samach HaMelech, that the Melech was Tov Leiv on the seventh day? So he said, no, because it also happened to have been Shabbos, and that's when the contrast between Klal Yisrael and the Yom HaSolem was evident. So that was Samach Tov Leiv HaMelech. So it wasn't that Achashverosh took 7 days to get drunk, but on the seventh day of the party is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu had that level of Simcha, because it also happened to have been Shabbos. So it's not going against Pshuto Shel Mikra saying it wasn't the seventh day of the party. It was the seventh day of the party. It was also Shabbos. So anyway, Hayinu Duchsiv Achra Advar Me'ilik Shoch Chamas HaMelech Achashverosh Zachras Vashti V'Asher Asasa V'Asher Nigzar Aleha, that when his wine started to fade away, he remembered Vashti and everything that he was goes there. Kshem Shasa Kach Nigzar Aleha, but it says because what she did and what the gzera was against her matched each other. She deserved the gzera. That Timayna Malka Vashti, so the queen refused to come. So Michti, Pritzasavai, she was a prutza anyway. Damar Shnei Ludvaraver Niskavna, like we said before. So my time alosai, why wouldn't she come? She found it so insulting for her to come unclothed to in front of all these men. She was a prutza, she enjoyed that. So Amar Yosef Chanina Malamit Shaparcha Batsaras, there must have been something that she was embarrassed about. She had blemishes, she had saras. Masnisa Tana Bug Gavriel Vasala Zanav. And the Brisa thought that Gavriel came and made a tail on her. Ve'iksav HaMelech Ma'od, and the king got very angry. Amai Dolka Be'kulei Hai, why was he so angry? So she didn't want to come. What was he? She wasn't feeling well, she said. Why was he so angry? No, she didn't say she wasn't feeling well. Amarav Asholchalei, she sent the following message to him. Bara Adruye Da'aba, you stable boy of my father. Abba Lekabla Alfa Chamra Shasi V'lo Ravi, my father was able to drink lots and lots, and he wouldn't get drunk, he wouldn't lose himself. But you've become like a fool in your wine. So right away he got angry because she questioned his malchus. She said, "You're a stable boy. You're a nobody. You're not a melech." So that's where Chamaso Ba'a Rabo, that's what the Mepharshim explained, that Vayiktsof is an external anger. Chamaso Ba'a Rabo is an internal anger. Normally, when a person expresses anger outwardly, it helps his internal anger calm down because it's sort of come out a little bit. But if what he's expressing is not what he's feeling, so the internal anger is going to get... So he was expressing anger that she, how could she not be coming? But the Chamaso Ba'a Rabo was not how could she not be coming. The Chamaso Ba'a Rabo is how could she question my malchus? And that he couldn't say because it would have been embarrassing to him. Vayomra Melech l'chachamim. So the Melech said to the Chachamim, "Man Chachamim, who are the Chachamim Rabbanan? They are the Rabbanan. Yodei Yitim. Why are they described as people who know times? Sheyodin Aber Shanim l'kvah chadashim. They know how to set up the Jewish calendar. Amlu Dainu Ali. So he said to the Chachamim, "I want you to Alpi Dinei Torah. I want you to judge her. Amru Hechinavid. They said this is a lose-lose. Namely, Katala. We're going to say that he should kill her. L'machra Pasuk Lechamri Baylam. Tomorrow he's not going to be drunk anymore, and he's gonna want her back. Namely Shavka, we said to leave her alone. Kamazal Malchusa, she's a married b'malchus. We can't say that. So they said, since we lost our Beis Hamikdash, we're not smart enough to be able to figure Dinei Nefashos out. We can't do it. Go to Amun Umov. They're in their original location. They never had to go into any galus. They're like wine that's sitting on its sediment. V'taima amru lei d'chsiv sha'an Umov b'nu ura v'shoke to al shemarav v'lo hurak mikli alki v'golu lo halach. That they still have their full flavor, they still have their full intellect and their full ability to analyze things because they weren't sent and exiled from one place to the other. Miyadva Korvilov, so right away it describes his advisors. Karshna Shesar and Masa Tarshish Amr of Levi called Pasuk Zat al Shum Karbanos Ne'amar. Every name in this Pasuk is not really a name, it actually refers to different Karbanos that are referred to in the Pasuk. Rashi says it's from the word Vakarov, which it's a Lashon of Akravas a Karban. Why didn't he say, why are we being mostly the Pasuk and we Pshuto? So the Marshal explains, because it should have said Vakrovim Elov. What's Vakarov? Must be that it's a reference to Karbanos. In Monos Halevi, he says, no, the reason we're being mostly the Pasuk and we Pshuto is because the previous Pasuk says that he went to the Chacham Yodei Eitim, and it didn't name anybody. And now it starts mentioning names of other advisors. So why would we all of a sudden name advisors in this Pasuk? So it must be that these names mean something. So what do these names mean? So Karshana Amru Malcha Yashar Sinek Rav Shbarach Ribbono Shalom Kulma Kirivu Lefnecha Karim B'nei Shana Kedarach She'akrivu Yisrael Lefnecha. Did they bring lambs, 1 year old lambs like Klal Yisrael brought for you? Shasar Kulum Hikrivu Lefnecha Shtei Sarin. Did they bring turtle doves like Klal Yisrael does? And Masa Klum Banu Lefnecha Mizbeach Adama. Did they build a Mizbeach Adama for you? Tarshish Klum Shimshu Lefnecha Bebigdei Kuhuna Dechsibu Tarshish Shom Yashvei Meres. Did they wear Bigdei Kuhuna for you? Meres Klum Mirsu Bedam Lefnecha. Did they stir blood in front of you? Marsna Klum Mirsu Bemenachas Lefnecha. Did they mix Karbanos Mincha with the flour and the oil in front of you? Mimuchan Klum Yichinu Shulchan Lefnecha. Did they prepare the Shulchan in front of you with the Lachem Apanim? Vayomer Mimuchan. So Mimuchan speaks up, and he's the one that's going to advise Achashverosh. So Tana Mimuchan Zeh Haman. Mimuchan is Haman. V'lamen Ikshma Mimuchan. Why is he called Mimuchan? Shemuchan LePranos. He's destined for Pranos. Amar of Kana Mikan Shehediot Kofitz Brosh. From here you see that the idiot is the one that speaks first instead of listening to everybody else. Leos Kol Ishvi Ishorer Bevesav. And he decides that they're going to make a gezerah that every man is going to rule over his house. Amar of Elmali Yigros Arishonos Lo Nishtayr Misonei Shalishol Saru Lepalit. If not for those first letters, there would be nothing left of the Jewish people. What happened? Amri Maihai Deshadulan Leos Kol Ishorer Bevesav. What's this proclamation that every man should rule over his household? Pshita Filu Karcha Bevesav Pardashcha Lahavi. That everyone, even the lowest of the low, rules over their own household. So what kind of proclamation is this? So therefore, they didn't act immediately on the next proclamation that they should kill out all the Jews. Had they not had such a foolish proclamation the first time, they would have taken the next proclamation more seriously and would have acted immediately. But since the first one was so stupid, they decided to see what would happen about the second one before acting on it. Amar Rabbi, Maidich Siv, Kol Arum Yasa Bedas, Uksil Yifros Ivelis. What does it mean that a prudent person will do things Bedas, but a fool will act foolishly? Kol Arum Yasa Bedas said David. When David needed to get a woman to warm him when he was older, he said, we're doing a search. We want to find one girl. Well, everyone wants to be the one. When you're looking for one, everyone wants to win the contest. But Achashverosh says, I want everybody to show up. So the natural reaction is, he's going to take advantage of all of these girls, and only one of them is going to end up in the palace, and is going to end up being his wife, but he's going to take advantage of every single girl. He's going to sleep with every single girl. What father would want to subject his daughter to that? So the natural reaction is that everyone's going to hide their daughters from him. When you search for one, so everyone's going to want to be the one. When you're searching for everyone, when you want to gather up everybody, round up everybody, well, no one wants to be rounded up like livestock. Everyone's going to hide from it. Okay, we'll continue with the drushes and the Megillah story, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow.